Welcome back to Money Life, where we're going to be talking, well, high yield, high income, all those sorts of things. My guest is David Schiffman. He is manager of the Aquila High Income Fund. That is ATPAX. If you want to learn about the A shares and follow along at home, better yet, if you want to follow along at home, go to AquilaFunds.com or find David Schiffman on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page and follow the long link that gets you directly to information about the fund. David Schiffman, thanks for joining me on Money Life.
Great to be here, Chuck. Thanks very much.
David is here on the Gainbridge Hotline. Are you taking steps toward planning your financial future? A deferred tax annuity from Gainbridge may be a great building block for your budding retirement portfolio. Learn how annuities through Gainbridge protect your savings while also delivering guaranteed returns. Visit Gainbridge.life today. David, we are living in some really interesting market conditions. And let's start with the idea that high income, you know, we've been defining it one way for a long time. But high income looks different in an environment of high inflation, right? Because it's, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, I've got high income in an environment where you get to keep all of it. You're not losing any purchasing power. It's another thing in an environment like the one we're in right now. So how does inflation impact the high income picture?
That's a great question, Chuck. And we have to think about it in more broader terms about inflation, about the fixed income markets. And traditionally, fixed income as a whole, whether it's high yield, whether it's investment grade, whether it's treasuries, mortgage-backed securities, in an inflationary environment, obviously, inflation is going to eat into that fixed income that you're earning. So what needs to happen is the fixed income market needs to compensate for that. Nobody wants to buy a U.S. Treasury at 2%. If, in fact, inflation is going to be running at 5 or 6%, because you're essentially netting out a negative yield that you're earning. So what's going to happen is that rates are going to start to tick higher and compensate for that higher inflation. And we're actually seeing that right now. I don't have to tell you, the CPI numbers are atrocious in terms of how high they are. The Fed has started to step in and take matters into their own hands. And that, of course, has started to move rates higher. So ultimately, the goal here is to see yields start to move higher, start to not only offset that inflation, but start to reduce that inflation by potentially moving the economy a little bit lower. Now, it's debatable whether or not we eventually move into a recession. That's what some folks are calling for, but in fact, you know, higher rates are going to, at some point, change the supply demand dynamics and so the economy, where we can, in fact, get those positive rates of return and positive yields that we're hoping for.
Let's step back for a second. You know, you said that's what people are wondering about, whether or not we're going to see a recession and what people are calling for. But one of the things that I've learned in all my years doing this is that different asset classes say different things. I mean, we went through a long time with the bull market where the stock market was telling you one thing and the bond market was saying something else. I know that at times the fixed income market says one thing and the high income market, the junk bond market, says something else. So is high yield telling you it's going to be a recession?
Well, that's a great point, Chuck. High yield, as you know, is almost like a hybrid type fixed income asset class because of the credit risk involved in the high yield market. It does have kind of those equity type components and features, but it of course has that fixed coupon in many cases, and it has a final maturity, so it is classified as a fixed income asset class. But because of that credit risk component, it's going to fluctuate a little bit more when we approach potential recessionary environment. Now, when people are structuring their investment portfolios, you know, you have that traditional mix of 60-40 equities versus fixed income, and the fixed income portion of the portfolio is supposed to offset the volatility that you might see in your equity portfolio. Over the course of recent months and years, there's been, you know, a closer comparison with how fixed income and equities have moved more in lockstep as opposed to offsetting each other. Now, in terms of your question about what the high yield market is telling us with respect to recession, I can tell you that just looking at how we measure the credit risk in the high yield market, that's measured by the extra yield or spread you get over comparable maturity treasuries. And just as an example, if we look at the overall high yield universe, at the end of last year, that spread over comparable treasuries was just under about 300 basis points, or 3%. Right now, as of the end of June, that's blown out to well over 500 basis points. So you've seen about a doubling in the perceived credit risk. And why is that happening? It's because the market is anticipating, especially the high yield market, that because the Fed has announced that they are going to be aggressive in trying to grab the inflation demon by the reins and start slowing that inflation by raising rates, they have to be so aggressive that the potential for moving into a recession is ticking higher and higher. And credit investors need to be compensated for that risk by having higher spreads.
When you consider the market conditions that we are seeing now, whether you call it a recession or not, we had the worst first half of a year that we've had for many of us in our lifetimes, or close to it, or at least in our investing lifetimes, if you're as old as I am. And we're looking, of course, for a bounce back. If high yield, like the rest of the bond market, is not normal, when does normalcy return?
Normalcy may return once we get a better handle on whether or not the Federal Reserve can execute what we would define as a soft landing. And I think really the jury is out as to whether or not they can do that. It's a very fine line, Chuck. Talking about recession, I think the Fed is still trying to pound the table that they can get inflation in check without having to push unemployment up, you know, a tremendous amount and eventually cause a recession. But that remains to be seen. Again, if we go back to the high yield market, we have seen, as I mentioned earlier, a pretty substantial increase in credit spreads. I would imagine that we likely have probably another 100 to 150 basis points of widening before we get to close to a peak. The Fed is watching that very closely. They want to know whether or not it's become difficult for companies to come to market to fund, you know, M&A activity, to refinance upcoming maturities. And if those financial conditions get constrained too much, the Fed is going to have to take that into account. So it's just whether or not they're able to get their work done in raising rates and getting inflation back in check before financial conditions get too constrained and they have to consider pausing. So the time frame in terms of getting back to normalcy could be by middle of next year. But there's a lot of uncertainty going on there, Chuck.
And what does normal look like? I mean, I don't want to say a new normal or what have you, but how much different is normalizing from what normalcy was to us during the period of the bull market?
Well, normalcy, I think, would really relate to how the equity markets perform versus the fixed income markets as a whole. So normalcy would be, I guess, you know, the economy bouncing back, the risk markets, the equity markets starting to perform better. Meanwhile, you know, the equity markets are moving in a different direction compared to the fixed income markets. But I'll have to tell you, Chuck, and you talked a little bit about the history that we're seeing now. And, you know, I like you, I've been in the market for many years, for well over 30 years now. And I'll have to say that the current environment has been very different than what I've ever seen over the course of my 33 years in managing institutional assets. because of the fact that there are so many things pushing and pulling the market. And that's, I think, why you're seeing so much volatility, because one day we might get some great economic numbers. You know, a great example is today, Friday, when we got some pretty strong employment numbers, I think stronger than people expected, considering the Fed has already gotten started. But then, you know, we may get some CPI numbers that come out later on that the market interprets, wow, the Fed is actually even further behind the curve, and they have to become even more aggressive. And, you know, maybe instead of doing 75 basis points at the end of July, they have to consider maybe doing 100 basis points. And, you know, I haven't even talked about what's going on over in Europe, the energy crisis that we're seeing, the Russia-Ukraine conflict, and we still have COVID hanging over our heads. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of push and pull, and that's why you're seeing so much volatility in the market here right now,
yeah.
Chuck, in both equities as well as the fixed income markets.
A lot of landmines and booby traps out there at this point in this market. Looking at what you see, you know, you're talking about the Fed. I mean, quite honestly, I don't think that a soft landing is possible. It's incredibly difficult in the best of circumstances. I'm not sure these are even close to the best of circumstances. So you talked about getting back to normal, taking a while to get there and the rest. Meanwhile, how dissatisfied are people going to be with high yield and what it can deliver in an inflationary environment like we've got? Or will we wind up seeing people just kind of go, look, I get it. You know, you as a fund manager, Dave, you can control a lot of things. You can't control inflation. You know, this is what the market's going to do. And we've got to eat that, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. I mean, is inflation and the lower real returns just a fact of life that as a high yield investor, stop thinking you can somehow beat everything?
Well, I can tell you, if we had this conversation 9 or 12 months ago, when yields were much lower, it was a much tougher job, especially in the high yield market, considering where inflation is now. Because of the fact that, again, we've seen the widening in credit spreads, we've seen the risk-free rate of return on treasuries move up pretty substantially, we're now seeing the high-yield market offer some, I would say, fairly attractive absolute yields. When the overall high-yield market now is offering yields of pretty close to 9%, that offers a pretty considerable buffer going forward from here to allow rates to continue to rise, to allow credit spreads to still widen out a bit and still offer over the course of 12 months a potential for positive total returns. If you think just about bond math, Chuck, when you buy an average duration high-yield bond of about 4-year duration, and you're earning close to 9% yield, over the course of a 12-month period, because that yield is so high, you can absorb rates going up likely about at least 200 basis points, credit spreads widening probably another 50 to 100 basis points, and still, at the end of the day, get some positive positive total return and yield out of it. So we're in much better shape than we were, say, last year at one point before the Fed got started.
Well, we'll take it. Much better shape. Let's hope that we get there not only now, but that we keep rolling and we get back to that normal we were talking about. Dave, this has been really interesting. Thanks so much for joining me on the show to talk about it.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you so much.
That is David Schiffman. He's manager of the Aquila High Income Fund, ATPAX, the ticker symbol for the A shares. Learn more at aquilafunds.com. You can get the long link directly to the fund page by finding David on the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page. Up next, we're headed for trouble. It's the Danger Zone when we come back in just a moment.